Yes, please, share. We prayed. I'd like to just pray again. God, I thank you that you are alive and you are real and that we are celebrating you. And God, I thank you that you are God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God the Father. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are our teacher. And I pray, Lord, that each one of us, that you would individually teach us as we present these thoughts of Scripture. And God, that we would be walking by the Spirit. I mean, that's really what you're asking us to do. So lead us, and thank you for your presence here. I pray in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Amen. So I want to just ask you a lot of questions today. First of all, I just kind of want to ask, where are you? Where are you in your walk with God? Are you growing? Are you stagnant? Where are you? In walking by the Spirit, you know, how are you doing? Do you see yourself different than the world? Do you notice a difference between how you think and live and how you observe the world living out there? In what ways are you challenged to trust God? In what ways are you challenged to believe him, to trust him, to submit to him? To give in to God's leading in your life. Are those kind of things happening in you? Yeah, they are all the time. So in this this next slide is kind of the title of the message. It's going on from last week. The idea of growing in Christ. What does it mean to be growing in Christ? In Luke 8, we're going to see some examples of how people responded there. But before we get there, I want to just ask you, if you were really thirsty, where would you want to get a drink from? And I'm going to give you two options. Here's the first option. This is a picture of stagnant. Okay, let it sink in for a minute. Okay, this is a picture of stagnant. And the next picture is a little different. Okay, so my question is to you, from where would you like to get a drink? Yeah. Now, most of you would say these days, what we know about Girardia and those kind of things, you don't drink out of any river like this. Take your water bottle with you. But you get the idea. Are you stagnant or are you moving? Are you stagnant or are you growing? Are you static or are you dynamic? You know, God would have us be in a growing mode all the time in our Christian faith. It's not something you just learn and then it's part of your life and you go on doing what you want to do. There is an ongoing growth in listening to God and letting the Holy Spirit lead you in obeying what the Word of God says. It's an ongoing process. It is for me. It's an ongoing process. So you guys like the second picture? Okay. We don't want to be standing still as a Christian. Because you know what happens to things that stand still. They become stagnant, right? Are you moving in Christ? And so on. It's great to have machines to help you. I was in preparing my garden recently, and I was working with my rototiller. And I was pulling and pulling and pulling on the cord, and I couldn't get it to start. And then I checked the gas tank and realized it didn't start because there was no gas in the car. You know? If your walk with Christ is missing Christ, if your walk with him is missing an ongoing relationship with him, that's how you're going to be. You're going to be turning the garden with a shovel and not your rototiller. Be putting all this effort in along the way. So we started last week talking about this word sanctification, and I just wrote this little definition, the process of growing up, learning to trust God and to walk with him while we live here on this earth before we get to heaven. Okay? So we're growing up in our faith. We're learning to trust God in our life every day, all the time, even when life is challenging. So the next slide, we talked about these big words last week that are really beautiful. The first is justification, and the last is glorification, and in the middle is sanctification. And again, justification is the fact that you had a big debt of sin. We all did, right? And Christ died on the cross. He paid for how much of your sin? All of it. So you're completely justified. That should make you very excited. I'm very grateful for that. And then someday, because you've been justified, you are going to be glorified. July 5th, my mom took her last breath here. And because of her faith and trust in Jesus Christ, she was absent from the body and she was glorified. She was taken into the presence of God, which is the same case for everybody who has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. In between being justified and being glorified, we have this process called sanctification, which is just learning to walk with God, learning to be set apart from the world, learning to walk, letting the Spirit of God lead you. That's what this season is about. We talked earlier, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. That's from the point you hear about Jesus till the point you go to heaven. We've got this long process in between where God is teaching us and we are growing and we are learning to trust Him and to walk with Him along the way. In Galatians 5:16, it says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to each other. Okay, so usually when we talk about the word lust, it has to do with a sexual connotation. In this passage, it's not talking about that specifically, although that's one of the areas. There's a problem with the flesh, and the flesh lusts after things of the world. So we tend to like being proud of ourselves and independent and not dependent upon other people. And we want to seek our own way, and we don't want to believe what God says, so we believe what we believe. And there's lust after money, there's lust after power, there's lust after independence, there's lust after sexual things. There's just it's just contrary to God. And this verse tells us, walk in the Spirit. And so we came to Christ when we were justified, we were saved. He saved us from sin, and we have a new life in Christ. And now we're living in the world, and we're walking in the Spirit. And there's a lot of parts to that. And then in verse 17 on this same slide, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit. Now, if you're honest with yourself, you know this is a battle. We know we're supposed to walk with Jesus and walk in the Spirit, right? I know that. But we struggle. There's this contrariness. There's this battle going on. And so the Bible tells us that God the Son saved us. God the Holy Spirit came to indwell us, to give us the power to be able to walk in the Spirit. So that when we come up against a crossroads, we come up against a temptation, we have the Holy Spirit to remind us and give us strength and power and ability, Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And so Paul says to them, walk in the Spirit. And walk is a choice, right? If you want to get from here to there, how are you going to do that? You might run, but you have to make a decision to put one foot in front of the other foot. You can't just go, I'm going to will myself to be there. No, it's a process. It's a walking. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in obedience. Walk in believing the truth of God's Word. One of the things that I love about all of these passages we're looking at is that they give us words of ideas and concepts that God has given for us to believe in. It's not just a feeling, it's actually things to believe in. And you'll see those along the way. So, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. If you're not presently walking, you're not growing in Christ, you're not walking in the Spirit, then you are going to be stagnant. And you are going to have a tendency to walk in the flesh, to do things in the flesh that are going to drag you down, that are going to mess you up, that are going to trip you up. And I'll tell you, that is a miserable place to live as a Christian. If you are not walking in the Spirit, you're not pursuing God along the way, you're going to end up looking like that pond with the scum on top. And you're going to wonder, God, why doesn't my life in Christ feel fresh? Why doesn't it feel growing? Why don't I feel like I have purpose? Why do I feel like I'm just getting by? That's not what God wants for us. He wants us to walk in the Spirit. So at the end of this paragraph, I just wrote this little thing, and we're going to see it in 2 Peter again. The battle of our two natures. We, as believers, surrender and obey Jesus. And that's what I'm encouraging us to do. By the way, the divine nature is God's nature that's put in us. We're a new creation in Christ. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit. By those are the facts of the Bible that I'm telling you. That we have the indwelling Holy Spirit. We are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Behold, I am a child of God. How incredible that is. And then there's the old nature, our human nature, with our habits, our diseases, our thought patterns, and so on. And so God is saying, while you're walking in the human form, trust me to give you strength. Trust me to indwell you. Trust me to help you. I told Jeff earlier, he said, what's one thing in your message? I told him I wasn't going to get to this point in the message, but I'm going to try. So I'm just going to tell you right now. I was reading in Luke chapter 8, where we're going in just a minute. And the last scene in Luke chapter 8 is Jesus on a boat with his disciples. Remember that? It happened a few times, but in this case, Jesus was in this boat and he was tired. He went onto the boat and what did he do? He went to sleep. Disciples are moving, however it was, sail or rowing, whatever they're doing. They're out on the Sea of Galilee and a storm brews up. Big storm, big waves, lots of problems, lots of fear. And the disciples are going, Jesus, Jesus, wake up. Don't you care about us? And it says he was in the front of the boat, asleep, resting. Now, I will tell you, to rest in the middle of the storm is what you get as a privilege when you walk in the Spirit. See, when I walk in the flesh, which I have a tendency to bounce back to and go to fear, be afraid, be worried about stuff. Why wasn't Jesus worried about the storm? Okay, he was God. We know that. But why wasn't he worried? He was in the flesh just as we are. The disciples were upset. He wasn't unconcerned about the disciples' worry about the storm. But he was resting. He was resting in God, his Father. He was resting in the Spirit of God as God was teaching him. He was resting. He had a sense, an attitude, a humility of rest, as opposed to the other 12 who were scurrying about worrying and afraid. Where do you usually find yourself? Right? So God reminds us, walk in Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh, the habits of the flesh, the things of the flesh, and so on. That's what an amazing thing. So let's jump to 2 Peter. We looked at this last week as well, but I wanted to talk about in different detail this time. By the way, I want to encourage you to continue to bring your Bible if you can. I know I put... That's actually why I don't like using slides, is because it has a tendency to make people feel like they don't have to bring their Bible. I really want your Bible to wear out. I want the cover to fall off your Bible, the words to be unlegible because you've been looking at them and you've been getting to know. 500 years ago, the people didn't have a Bible they could bring. They didn't have a personal Bible they could hang on to. We do. I would encourage you to bring your Bible right in. I know Rob never wrote in his Bible. I don't know how he couldn't do that. But he had a memory that was like amazing. I don't. And so I write in my Bible. I take notes in my Bible. So I guess you can, it's up to you. But I would love for you to bring a Bible so that you can open it and you can see those words. Maybe the next time you're going through, you go, oh yeah, I remember God, your Holy Spirit, when you were teaching me about this. It just helps it to be more familiar to us. The second thing is taking notes. And some of you are journalers and you like to write. And there's a couple people in our church who have been taking notes on sermons all my years I've been here. And I know that's not for everybody, but it wouldn't hurt to have some paper and just to be able to take some notes. So just some sidelines. Jumping back to 2 Peter chapter 1, okay? Let's just read the scripture. To those who have obtained like precious faith. We're going to go slow through this. Like precious faith. Peter trusted in Christ. Peter knew Jesus was the Messiah. By the way, they had to figure it out. They didn't have all this testimony. They didn't have the word. Peter met Jesus on the way. He was down by the sea, and they were mending their nets, and Jesus said, I want you. Come on, Peter, Andrew, I want you, right? They met Jesus. They were able to watch his life. They were able to test his deeds, test his words, right? He knew the precious faith. He knew that Jesus was the Messiah promised by the Old Testament prophets, and Peter was there, and he was a child of God. And he says to you who has like precious faith, you have precious faith in Christ. And what does that mean? You are completely forgiven. That's a fact of God's word. Camp on that one. You are completely forgiven. You are a child of God. You are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You are being led and guided by the Holy Spirit. These are great things. So you have a precious faith, brother and sister. We do. It is a precious faith. Man, I am learning what it means to truly rest in my relationship with Christ. You have a precious faith. You who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. That just is the focus. Who is our Savior? God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Savior of the world, and that's where your faith is placed, right? That's right. Like precious faith. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Savior. Let me say to you, those two words are a gift to you. Grace and peace, the gift of God, the presence of God, the person of God is a gift. That's grace and peace. You know what, guys? We need peace. John needs peace going into surgery on June 12th. Grace and peace be to you in the knowledge of what? What brings grace and peace? Is it just because you had a good meal today and a good night's sleep and now you have peace? It's not what we're talking about. We're talking about grace and peace that comes to you in the what? The knowledge of God. You get to know who God is, seriously. You get to know who God is. You get to know God in his faithfulness, in the truth of his promises, in the truth of his prophecies. You get to know God in his unconditional love for you. It will bring grace and peace to your soul. I need that. I need that. If you're not, and this isn't like a test, but if you're not deepening, if you're stagnant, if you're not growing in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you are probably lacking peace in some areas of your life. He says, grace and peace be unto you as you grow in the knowledge of God and the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is, you know, if you get to know your God, if you get to know your Savior, it will color how you look at other things in your life that come up. It's like, yeah, this is a big deal, but my God's bigger. Something like that. So then let's continue. It says in verse 3, and his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I know we spent time on this last time, but he has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Not some of the things, not partial help. He has given you everything you need for life and godliness. That's just a statement. That's just a truth. That's not a hope. That's not a wish. He has given to you everything you need for life and godliness. How do you apprehend that? How do you bring that into your life? Partially, it's walking by the Spirit and not walking by the flesh. It's doing all the normal things that followers of Christ do. It's believing in him. It's trusting him. It's loving his word. It's being a light when God's called you to be a light for him. It's going to him in prayer when struggling things come up. Okay, so his divine power, by the way, his divine power. Yeah, power is an amazing word. Right now, Bob's rebuilding his truck engine, right? And when it gets done, this thing's going to have power. Better than it did 6 months ago, right? That's right. Yeah, but now you have God's divine power. And this, again, is a fact. It's not a wish. It's like, oh, man, you know, I wish God would help me get through this thing. He's saying, no, you have God's divine power for life and godliness. Now, it's his will that's unfolding in your life, not your will. But it's a powerful truth. God's divine power for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who, there it is again. Through the knowledge of what? Through the knowledge of him who called us by his grand glory in heaven and by his virtue, his truth, the reality of who he is, by which we have been, which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Okay, so he has given you again exceedingly great and precious promises. You know, I've just this week was looking up a professor I had 30 years ago at Talbot Seminary, Paul Enns. I don't know if you knew Paul, but Paul Enns, and he has written this book on heaven. And this book on heaven is filled with the exceedingly great and precious promises. Not only the promises for heaven, but God has also given us exceedingly great and precious promises for this life right here. You know, I will never leave you or forsake you. I have indwelled you. The Father and the Son make their abode in you. And so on and so on. Just incredible things. And that we may be partakers of the divine nature. Let's jump to the next slide. And because of all this, what God has done, you have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, let me just say to you, that's good news. You have escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. That's amazing. Sometimes this world overwhelms me. The news, the facts, the character of leaders, myself. It says here, we have escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust by the grace of God. Wow, what a gift. And then it says, okay, you've got this precious gift of faith. You have escaped hell and many of the things that are in the world, all deceptions by Satan instead of the truth. We got these lies going around. We've escaped the corruptions in the world through lust. And then he says to you, please give now your effort. Give your diligence. Give your purpose. Live for this kind of stuff, Peter says to us. He says, give all diligence. So just think about something you give diligence to. I don't want to go there right now, but give all diligence. So he says, add to your faith. You have faith in Christ, a faith that God gave you to believe in him. Now, add to your faith, and then there are these words. See these words? Add to your faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Make these your priority. As you make these kinds of things, so in your family life and in your business dealings and in your friendships, add to your faith these kind of things. Be virtuous. Be a person of integrity. Be a person of truth. Be a person who others can count on. Add to your faith virtue. Add to your virtue knowledge, knowing God and his word. I think the thing that I will regret when I die is that I don't know the word of God better, that I don't know how it all fits together better, that I don't understand Paul and Peter and John better, that I don't understand what Moses went through and Isaiah and Ezekiel. It says in here, add to your knowledge, add to your virtue knowledge, and we can't talk about all these, to your knowledge, self-control. Without the Spirit of God, there would be no self-control. At least, that's not a true statement. Even unbelievers have some self-control. But he's saying it is a quality we need as believers. Add to your knowledge, self-control. Add to your self-control, perseverance. A lot of you could, you guys could write a book on perseverance because you're persevering. You've been faithful. You've stuck with it. God values this. To perseverance, godliness. That there is a sense that God wants us to live in a godly fashion. Ephesians tells us that we need to be imitators of God. It's possible because Jesus came to us, saved us, Holy Spirit lives in us. We can now imitate God with our lives. We don't become God. God is God. We are the saved creature. But we can be like him in these qualities by asking the Holy Spirit to teach us and guide us and lead us. Brotherly kindness, and then have brotherly kindness and love. And then verse 8, it says this, if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful. I just want to say those two words, barren and unfruitful, are devastating words. To be barren means to not be able to have children. For women who are married and a woman who desires to have a child and can't, is it devastating? I don't know. You know. It's devastating. God does not want us to be barren. He wants us to be spiritually fruitful. He wants us to have spiritual children, so to speak. He wants us to have peace that's like his peace that he had when he rested on a boat in the middle of a storm. God wants us to have spiritual fruit in our lives. And then he says, so that you will not be unfruitful. Do you ever feel unfruitful? I have many times, wanting so much more out of my life, so much more production out of my life, and so on. He says, you know what, Jim? If you would focus on these godly qualities, letting the Holy Spirit work through you, then you will not be barren or unfruitful. And maybe now we'll look for the fruit that God is producing, not what I think I can do on my own. So let's go to the next scripture. The last part of this passage. It says, for he who lacks, so the person who lacks, who is stagnant in their life with Christ, and I'm not telling you to work for your salvation. I'm not telling anybody here, if you work really hard, God will be happy with you. It's not what I'm telling you. I'm telling you because you have a like precious faith in your soul, and you've been saved, submit yourself to walking by the Spirit, and you will have fruit, and you won't feel barren or unfruitful, and then you will never feel like this. It says, he who lacks these things is what? Short-sighted, even unto blindness. God, where am I going in my life? God, I can't find out where I'm supposed to be going. He says, I don't want you to have that. He says, if you're this kind of person, you've been forgotten, that you have forgotten that you've been cleansed from your sins. How is it when you sit around and think all day long about how guilty you are about stuff in your life? Do you get anywhere? Do you go forward when you're sitting around thinking about your guilt and your shame? He says, this person has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. I am a child of God, we sang. And then the last thing, therefore, brethren, be more diligent to make your call out of sinful life into the life of Christ, and your election that God knew and chose you before the foundation of the world. Make your election sure. For if you do these things, you will never, what? You ever been walking in the dark and something's in front of your way that you did not expect to be there? Anybody ever gone down? Yeah. Yeah, God does not want us to stumble. So in Luke 8, I just said this, the realities the growing believer understands and loves about God's call on their lives and ministries he brings them to. I think we should go to Luke 8 next time. God wants us to be fruitful. God does not want you to be stagnant. He wants you to be flowing in your Christian life. Mike, if you and the team want to come up, and we're going to just, I want to ask you some questions, okay? Again, where are you growing in Christ today? What are you seeing in you, when you leave here? You're going to have some lunch, and then you're going to go into the afternoon, and Monday's going to come. How do you see yourself? And I'm asking myself the same question. How do you see yourself growing in Christ right now? Are you growing? Would you say you're stagnant or you're moving forward? Okay. So sanctification, this growing process, starts in abiding in Christ, in believing him and knowing him and obeying him. Abiding starts when you're first saved. The scripture tells us that the fruit of abiding will be this kind of stuff, peace and joy and trust and so on. Stagnant is what I don't want to be. I want to be diligent to be growing in these areas that Christ has called me to. Now, by the way, this is more introspection than looking at your lives. Only you can look at your life. But if you are growing in the knowledge of him who saved you, who called you, who gifted you, and so on, then you're going to have fruits of righteousness. You're going to have peace and joy and love and rest. Jesus resting in that boat, man, that is a picture. You know, Jamin said to me the other day, Dad. So he's like this. He's like, Dad, okay, all day long, I don't want you to worry about anything. Right? Know what you said to me? You know, trust the Lord in everything. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we want? We want rest and peace. If you're stagnant, just pray and say, God, I'm stagnant. Help me. Help me pursue the things, the trusting, the knowledge of God, the believing, that will help me to be not stagnant anymore. It is true that someday, you know, we're going to stand before the Lord, and that's a both good and awesome thing. I want to have made good use of the breath that I've been given here. So during this prayer time, there's a few of you that will come and pray with people. Maybe you're just at a place, and it's only your place, and you just want to say, God, first of all, maybe you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus, believe him so that you can be saved, have a precious faith. Secondly, maybe you are at a stagnant place, and you just need someone to come alongside you and pray with you. You can come and pray with me. I don't want to be stagnant. So, isn't God good, though? He has given us such a great hope and such wonderful truth about that we are children of his. He wants you to know that. Let's stand, and if you want to pray, please come on up and we'll pray. Okay.
I see the
Have resurrection power. That is a promise from God to you. So I'm going to change the tone just a second and say that even though we have new carpet, if some of you wouldn't mind staying, we have to move furniture out of the office into here. And it'll be gone by the time you come back next week. But we need to move it into here. And so if you're able to do that, that would be great. We don't want to stack the chairs as high this time because the glue is still setting on the floor. So no more than three high if you're going to drag them, okay? So thank you. Let's pray. God, thank you. You indeed have given us resurrection power. Thank you for that truth. God, now, all of us can be stagnant. Lord, we want to be walking by the Spirit, not being stagnant. So Lord, help us in our pursuit of you, in our growing in the knowledge of you, of our understanding the great promises that you have given to us. And Lord, maybe we could help each other, and we will. So Lord, we commit ourselves to walk with you. Thank you for these brothers and sisters. The song said, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Lord, we don't want to turn back. We want to walk with you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.